In this episode, you'll discover the only podcast sales funnel you need to generate $10,000 per month from your podcast. Welcome to Why Your Podcast Isn't Growing, a show helping entrepreneurs with podcasts turn a slow growth show into a rapidly growing positive ROI podcast. Hello, my name is Anthony Muneri.
I'm Ty Gaucher.
And in this episode, you'll discover the three invisible mistakes that are secretly stopping your podcast from generating consistent sales and how to fix them.
Why so many podcasts struggle to generate an income from their show.
And finally, a simple three-phase strategy to turn more listeners into leads without needing a huge audience. Welcome back to another Thursday episode where we share with you stories, break down marketing principles, and give you actionable strategies to grow and monetize your podcast way faster. Look, here's the thing. Most podcasters, their perception of what is possible and could be possible with a podcast is very limited. And today we want to share with you how to build a podcast that doesn't just grow, but actually feeds your overall business.
A podcast that helps you attract the right listeners and turn them into sales consistently and predictably.
But first, let's get clear on what most people do and the mistakes they make so you know to avoid them.
Well, what most people do is honestly start by launch with enthusiasm, interview very interesting guests, post consistently for a while, share episodes on social media, all of these things. Basically, the things that you see other podcasters doing is really what most people do. And then wait. And then you keep doing that, but you wait for the audience to grow and wait for the leads to come in and wait for the magic to happen, which is known as the build it and they will come kind of mindset.
But of course, this mindset leads to you feeling like you've been doing the podcast for years, but your numbers still aren't there. Maybe they're embarrassingly low. We've had clients that mentioned to us that they felt like, hey, you know, I want to have an audience I'm proud of, but truth be told, I feel like people don't really care. And maybe you're now starting to look at all of the time you've invested into your show up until now, and you're wondering, hey, when will my show start to grow, pick up traction, and actually be able to monetize?
Well, there are three massive mistakes with the approach we just mentioned, hiding in plain sight, that will absolutely block generating sales from a podcast. Firstly, people think it's luck. So people think it's just going to happen if you stay consistent, provide free value, and wait for listeners eventually to reach out. And sometimes they do, but it's not random. It's certainly not luck. People reach out when there was a sequence of events that took place for them to reach out in the first place. The issue is when you think it's luck or don't think strategically about your show, you don't even think to do deeper investigation to find out what caused the event for this listener to reach out in the first place. And because you think it's by chance, you don't even think about how you can replicate the results. And this ultimately is a wasted opportunity to drive more sales from the podcast and makes you falsely think that you don't have control and it's just a good day if a lead reaches out from the podcast, which makes the show feel very unpredictable and makes your results inconsistent.
So like we mentioned, the first mistake that so many podcasters make is thinking that generating sales, building interest around your product or services is luck, like it just happens. When it's not, there's a specific sequence of events that has to take place in order for a listener to reach out, engage with you, and want to buy your stuff or actually going ahead and buying your stuff. And when you know and understand what that path looks like, you can then start to replicate it to generate more sales from your podcast way more consistently and predictably. So again, it's not just luck. Later on, I'm going to break down a process for this, but no, again, it's not just luck. The second mistake that people make is having this visibility first mindset instead of viewing their podcast like an ATM machine. What do I mean? Well, the issue is most podcasters just think, hey, look, my podcast is an expense. I invest a lot of money into it, but I don't really get much back. But hey, I get to expand my network. Hey, I get some visibility. Hey, I get some exposure when I post on social media. Again, it's looking at the podcast almost as if it's just for authority and visibility.
Just for branding.
Rather than my audience are highly qualified potential clients or customers for my business. It's a very different mindset.
It is. Again, it's like a passive versus active thing. If you just think the numbers are there and they don't correlate, but just in some way magically make you more authoritative or just make better things happen, but there's no direct link between it, you know, it's really hard to do anything with a podcast or get anything from the podcast, really. But if you see every listener as a potential lead, again, it's a totally different way of thinking.
And then the third mistake is using the podcast's past success as future growth predictors. What this looks like is you've been publishing valuable content for, let's say, 2 years. You've had 200 plus episodes. You're getting 200 downloads per episode. And you feel like, hey, look, this is just my ceiling. And for you, again, your podcast maybe has never made money up until now. So you just think, well, maybe it's not possible to monetize in my niche. Maybe my audience is too small. Or you got 3 clients in the last 3 years and you're like, well, that's the best I can expect.
What this really is just a very negative self-fulfilling prophecy. You take small actions and you get small results. So again, you take small actions and then we go on and on. It confirms your bias and the cycle continues.
It completely ignores the power that strategy changes things. Now, again, I really want to make this point very clear. Like what me and Tiger are trying to say here is, you know, a lot of podcasters want to work with us one-on-one to grow their shows. They come in a strategy session, speak to myself. And a lot of the times I've realized that they have like these almost barriers of like, oh, it's possible for Stephen Bartlett, but it's not possible for me. Or, you know, yeah, it's great. You've got all these clients, amazing results, but what about me? And really what's going on is because the last 2 years of them not growing their podcast and being stuck at, let's say, 2,000 monthly downloads, for them, that's their glass ceiling that they haven't been able to break out of for the last 2 years. So now they're just thinking that this is just how it is. Like, I can't grow anymore. Even though that 2,000 monthly downloads is a reflection of their strategy up until now. And your strategy can change at any point.
It's like saying, I've been driving for 30 miles per hour, so that's as fast as my car goes. But actually, you haven't tested what happens when you press the accelerator.
And you know what? You're totally right. And I feel like that is a mental trap that so many people fall under. You know, when you've been struggling for years, your brain kind of protects itself by lowering your expectations for future outcomes. Maybe my podcast just isn't meant to be that big. Feels way better. I haven't figured out the right strategy yet, even though I've been podcasting for the last 2 to 3 years. But again, this protection essentially kind of keeps you imprisoned because you're not pushing the limits of what actually is possible. You've just seen what's possible based on the effort you've put in so far and concluded that that's all that's possible for you. And again, it's just flawed logic in that sense.
Very much flawed logic. So with that said then, what is the antidote?
Well, the antidote is to separate your past results from your future potential. Your podcast's current performance up until this point is just data about what you've tried so far, not the verdict, not the final conclusion of what's actually possible for your show. We've had clients who've been stuck for 2 years plus in their shows, struggling to grow, and their show actually starts to decline. Then we finally make a shift, add a real growth strategy in place, help them get clear on some key elements, and their podcast over the next 6 months explodes consistently. It's not luck. It doesn't just happen. It's what happens when you get a right strategy in place. And for most podcasters, they're making conclusions about their podcast potential based on results from bad strategies. That's like judging your cooking skills based on a meal you made without a recipe, proper ingredients, and knowing how to use an actual. So that's good. Now we understand, okay, what most people do, the mistakes they made. What's the new way? How can you kind of skip all of the bullshit that comes along with that and have a new approach to grow and monetize your podcast?
Well, most podcasters think of their show as content, but successful podcasters think of their show as a system to reach the right listeners and turn those listeners into clients or buyers. You could compare this to other things, Netflix, a big company. They don't just create great shows or TV and hope that you find them. They have a very sophisticated system that helps you discover shows you love, keeps you engaged with strategic personalized recommendations, and makes renewal very seamless so you barely think about it. And if your podcast worked like this or took more inspiration from a great system like this, what do you think that could do for your listeners? How easy do you think it could make for people to share your show or for people to come back for more? Given that the podcast can work like this, we really need to ditch the idea that generating sales from the show is just luck. Stop thinking of your podcast as a creative outlet that might someday make money, but is mainly just for branding if you're consistent and provide value. And wake up to the fact that you have to create your show intentionally to do the thing that you want it to do.
The podcast being, again, a strategic business asset with a specific job which is to help you reach more of the right potential listeners. If you don't take it seriously,
if you don't prioritize it,
if you put in minimal effort,
if you just guess along the way,
if you treat the podcast like a hobby,
then your results will reflect that.
One of our clients mentioned how they'd spent 5 years treating their podcast like a hobby while expecting business results. They were doing random marketing activities that didn't really drive growth. And it wasn't until they flipped the script, became way more strategic, that everything changed. So what does the new way of podcast growth and sales look like? Well, instead of random marketing content and random marketing activity hoping for a viral moment, you actually build a very clear, strategic three-part funnel where your podcast is the thing attracting potential clients to your business, nurturing those clients longer term, and converting those clients into customers, clients, members of whatever program you own. That's it. It's three phases: discovery, nurture, conversions. And each one of these phases has very clear, measurable, specific outcomes. It's not just about more content. No, it's about having the right content in the right order for the right person.
So this works really, really well because it mirrors how humans actually make buying decisions, especially high ticket ones. Again, it's a sequence of events that has to happen for anyone to buy anything of significant value. No one wakes up and thinks, you know, I'm just going to drop 5K with a stranger today, right? It's like expecting someone to marry you because they like the social media post. But instead, the thing works in stages, right? And this is what we're talking about here, where we've got the discovery, the nurture, and conversion. And each stage moves people one step closer to working with you. So discovery gets them to know you exist.
Nurturing them gets to trust you as an expert.
And conversion gets them to believe you can solve their specific problem. This is what has to happen for a listener to become a client. And this is what also has to happen for a listener to reach out with you or to book a call or to take an action that might lead them to become a client.
In other words, every time you've had someone reach out saying, hey, how can I work with you, if that's happened for you now, know that they first had to discover your show, then your content nurtured them, and then they took action, they converted to wanting to work with you. It's not random. So we can replicate that exact same pathway more intentionally, where you're the one in control of each of these three specific phases: discovery, nurture, and conversion. So what is the discovery phase? Well, this is where a cold audience, someone who really doesn't know you yet, essentially find your podcast. They discover you for the first time. Now, there are really two engines you need for this to work. The first is having a show that's optimized for podcast SEO, meaning knowing what keywords you should rank for on Apple and Spotify that the listeners you're trying to reach would type in to find a podcast like yours. A simple example we always give is if your podcast is about anxiety, making sure you're ranking for the keywords how to reduce anxiety. When you do this, it means that more of the right listeners, thousands of new listeners, can find your show organically every single month when they type in on Apple and Spotify how to reduce anxiety. It really is that simple. The second piece of this is being way more strategic when it comes to podcast guesting. Now, this has nothing to do with you getting high-profile guests into your podcast. It's really more so to do with you finding other top shows in your space who have the audience you want to reach. Maybe you have a podcast about anxiety and someone else has a podcast about overwhelm and they've got tens of thousands of listeners. You being interviewed on their show and sharing your insights around how anxiety and overwhelm are linked, that's a great way for you to become discovered by way more of the right podcast listeners. But the issue is, Tig, right? We know that so many people, when it comes to the second part, being a guest on other people's shows, prioritize getting guests onto their podcasts.
Which is funny because all that work that goes into that, you know, scrambling to find guests for your show, spending hours researching, reaching out, landing someone with a big name, or, you know, just basically riding the emotional waves of getting someone with a big name, or, you know, just basically all of the people, skills and management involved with that, you know, getting excited to publish the episode, watching the download spike, realizing your audience wants to work with the guest, and then ultimately realizing that you gave the spotlight away for what? For nothing. It kind of means that you've become the host of a show that makes other people money.
I'm sure maybe you had that thought before. I know that, for example, for me, I recently went on the podcast. It was an incredible show, did my best, provided a ton of value, And from that one guessing spot, we generated an additional $9,000 for our business. We closed one client on one of our high ticket levels and another client on a lower ticket level. That was brilliant. That was literally time well spent. And you can do the exact same for your show. Now imagine instead you did get an email that mentioned, hey, we would love to have you as an expert on our show. Now, why was it that I was able to generate that income compared to if I invited a guest into my podcast? Well, think about it. When I'm a guest on someone else's show and when you're a guest on someone else's show, you're the star. You can share your client success story. You can share your framework. You can share your personal story. And if you do a good enough job by providing value to a new audience, they just see you as the person who can help them solve a deep problem. And that's when they then reach out to, again, wanting to explore to work with you. And that's what happened when I was a guest on a recent show.
So we've kind of broken down the discovery there, right? Through two main methods, podcast SEO and guesting on other people's shows. But then, of course, we have to nurture, because once people find you, you can't just expect them to buy right away. Well, they don't trust you. You're just a random person. And you also just can't hit them with your life story and then suddenly it's great. There are certain things that we have to hit, or almost like things that we have to check off to know that our content is actually nurturing people and bringing them closer to the conversion. So to make this a bit more practical, what is the fastest way to build like, know, and trust?
Well, again, like Tug mentioned, if you want them to buy from you, then needs to have that like, know, and trust. And the easiest way to do this is by breaking each part down into, I guess, core fundamental components, which is for someone to know you, really what this means is they know where you came from, they know where you're at now, they know where you're going. All we mean is they know your story, they understand the origin of the podcast, how you got into what you're doing, they know where you're at now in your journey, and they know where you're trying to go in the future, like what, you know, what mission you on, what exactly is your message. That's when people feel like they know you. Again, that's really based on you telling more stories about what you've done, where you're at now, and where you're going. In order for them to feel like they like you, just basically means be yourself on a fundamental level. Like, don't try to like sugarcoat thing. Just be yourself, express yourself fully. And if people like it, they like it. If they don't, they don't. And the final part is trust. This is more so about them believing in your competence, them trusting that you can help them solve their problem. This part really is earned when you provide evidence that you have success stories, that you solve the problems for yourself or for clients, and then you have systems that can help them replicate those similar results. Again, building that like, know, and trust. If I had to distill that into four simple steps, it'll be number one, be unapologetically yourself. Number two, share your strong opinions. Number three, prove it with specific client case studies. Number four, show the exact systems you use, not just the success stories you have.
And of course, for this, you need a call to action format that gets your listeners to take action. And you constantly need to let your audience know that they can work with you one. So it's very important to do it frequently and also do it effectively. And to do it effectively, we like a simple PASS framework for calls to action. PASS, because that's the acronym. It stands for pain, agitate, solution. Pain would be identifying the problem. Agitate is amplifying the consequences. So for example, amplifying what happens if they don't take action, or amplifying how this pain is affecting their life. The pain could be, for example, they're healing from a breakup, and they've just broken up and they're not feeling. Amplifying the consequences, the agitate could be talking about how that is affecting their ability to find lasting love or to show up at work or for their family. The final part, the S, is solution, which is to present your offer. That's exactly why I help XYZ recover from divorce, heal your limiting beliefs around love, and find lasting connection.
I like that. Now, once you have this, you have a full system where you can get people to, number one, discover your show through podcast SEO or strategic podcast guesting. You being interviewed on someone else's show. They're then being nurtured by your content, where you're again building that like, know, and trust on a deeper level. Like we mentioned, it's really important that you share more of your stories, you share success of other clients, you break down your own specific processes and frameworks in order to build that like, know, and trust. Then the final phase is getting that person to take action using the PASS framework. Pain, agitate, solution. When you have this, you can finally stop spinning your wheels and get a methodology for monetizing your show consistently. You realize that monetization of a podcast isn't luck. There are very specific steps you need to take in order to reach the right listeners, nurture them, and then convert them into a client or a customer for your business. You have control over creating that path. If I only feel like an actual success because you're able to help clients at the highest level, not just having a bunch of audience members who listen to your podcast, love your content, but never take that final step when it comes to exploring working with you. And finally, the podcast goes from random marketing activities, things you just do, to becoming the centerpiece of your business that attracts, nurtures, and turns listeners into clients consistently. Because again, you have a proven path for generating sales consistently.
The difference between podcasters stuck at a few hundred downloads and those making 10K monthly more from their show isn't talent. It's not even audience size. It's the right strategy to know their time isn't going to waste and the right mentorship to shortcut their way to faster growth and avoid falling into common pitfalls. And finally, community to be inspired every day by other entrepreneurs and experts who are winning.
And then finally, waking up to the fact that you absolutely can do it. The time you've invested into the podcast, it is going to be worth it. Like, we want to just keep mentioning this point. And me and Ty can be very straight and stern and come out with some crazy philosophical things and call you, like, say how you're failing, etc. You're not really failing, right? But for our end, we know that it is possible. And I think it's more of like that realization that you don't need to go through all this pain and struggle and having a hard time with your show than having a bunch of self-doubt about the content. You can just skip all of that by just getting clear on what you need to do. Once you have that clarity, it's pretty straightforward. Like, you still got to work hard and put the effort in, but it's way easier when you move in the right direction and you know why you're doing certain things. So look, if you have been trying to grow and monetize your show for years, maybe it's time to get real mentorship from people who've done this hundreds of times. If not, you'll end up spending years spinning your wheels, having all these big dreams, but not taking significant steps forward to reach the full potential of your show. Not because, again, you weren't good enough or you didn't have the expertise, but because you just didn't have the strategy and the right guidance to get you to those results. And that's why I created the Get More Listeners Academy. It's our personalized one-on-one program for entrepreneurs and experts like you who want to follow a simple process to grow and monetize their show. Without having to spend years in trial and error, years feeling frustrated, and years trying to figure it out themselves. Just have fun doing what they love, reaching more of the right people, and paying them back for all the time they've invested into their shows. If that sounds interesting, go to the show notes of this episode, click the first link that you see, and book a free strategy session with myself. I'd love to see how it can help you take your show to that next level. With that being said, we'll catch you in the next episode.